Good evening. This is Lehigh Valley Discourse, and you are listening to Wellness Lehigh Valley. I am your host, Sally Hanlon. Wellness is important to a balanced lifestyle, and more we as humanity are figuring out certain elements can lead to very positive results. From mental health to the environment, including all things that can affect your wellness, I'm happy to invite you into conversations on ways to improve or think differently about wellness in the Lehigh Valley. And one of the areas we're focusing on tonight actually could be a little bit of wellness and business. It's our education systems, because they're the strong foundation of our communities and our future in those communities. And as I just indicated, education is more than a business. It serves as a vital thread and weaves communities together, carries visions of what lies ahead. And I think all of us, regardless of whether we have students in an education system or not, we realize that our educators face growing society challenges, including the influence of social media, rising polarization, declining tolerance for diverse perspectives. So for our superintendents and for those leading the professional teams, this landscape can feel a little bit like doing a firewalk at times, I'm sure, demanding high stakes and requiring exceptional balance and resilience. And our guest this evening is Dr. Harrison Bailey III, who is superintendent of Wilson Area School District. And Dr. Bailey was a guest of ours, I'm going to say a year or a year and a half ago, when he was the principal at Liberty High School. And he was very much involved in integrating restorative justice practices and mental health and wellness in the school district. So we're going to ask him for a little bit of an update on that, talk a little bit about the Wilson Area School District, which is a much different in size district, and also his career path, because it's had a number of steps, which I find very interesting. So if you have students, if you are someone in the educational career step system, then tonight is something you want to listen to. Dr. Bailey, welcome.
Oh, thank you very much. Appreciate being here with you.
Well, it's good to see you again. And, you know, we're a little bit more relaxed than we were in the last time because it's more summer. But I know that's not a relaxing environment for the school districts.
No, we're in the hotbed of planning right now. So a lot going on at the Wilson School District.
Could you remind our listeners or share for those who didn't hear our last program a little bit about you, your background, and how you got into the Lehigh Valley and how we have kept you here?
Sure. So I was born in New York, grew up in Jersey, and came to the Lehigh Valley to go to Lafayette College. And so I went to Lafayette, graduated in 95. And from there, after playing a little arena football, matriculated to Lehigh. And taught at Centennial School. From there, became a special ed teacher and then taught at Freedom High School. From Freedom, after being there for 2 years, then became an assistant principal in the Parkland School District at the high school there. And I was an assistant principal for 10 and a half years at the high school in Parkland, and then became the principal for half a year for a medical leave. And then at that point, was fortunate enough to get the job at Liberty High School and became the principal there, and 12 and a half years went by in a flash. And so I was the proud principal of that amazing school for well over a decade before taking the superintendent position in the Wilson School District in February.
That's quite a career, and my goodness, your time in the various districts in the Valley is extremely important into whatever position you take. So I'm sure Wilson School District is greatly benefiting from all the experience you've brought. And in addition, when I did some research, I mean, you've had experience in change management, leadership development, public speaking, team building. I mean, your resume is so full that I'm wondering how you find time to sleep.
Well, when you're an administrator in general, but when you're a principal of a school the size of Liberty, you get involved in a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And so from a career perspective, you have to engage a lot of different ways. And so you have a lot of experiences. But in addition to that, I have a lot of interests and so we, myself and a number of others, have really done a lot of presenting at conferences, national conferences, state conferences, and really kind of engaged in a lot of other components of what would not be considered formal education, but definitely informal education in a lot of ways.
And supportive to the educational process.
Absolutely.
Well, and the one thing, let's get sort of an update on one of the things that you did at Liberty, which you told me just before we started has expanded, and that's that Liberty became a trauma-informed high school. Mm-hmm. And if I recall, you also presented to the state legislation about that as well. How is that going? Is still going? And it's expanded?
We, in 2016, started the process of really focusing in on trauma. And at that time, no one was really talking about trauma in schools. And so we were very fortunate to be ahead of the curve because right before COVID hit.
Yes.
We had already established that we were going to, we were already training all of our staff in trauma. We were already forming our wellness center. And so by the time we came back to school from COVID, our wellness center was up and running. And that was incredibly fortunate because so many of our students needed those services. And so the time spent there taught me a great deal in terms of leading massive initiative, in terms of the importance of mental health in schools. And so I've been fortunate to, as I said, present at not just state and local conferences, but for the legislature at the state level, and I've also been involved with advocacy at the national level in D.C. Mm-hmm. Around mental health, amongst a number of other things.
Yeah. Well, and I think you said that now Freedom also has one of these centers as well?
Yes. So the district really, after seeing the success that we had around mental health at Liberty, really bought in and began to expand mental health services around the district. And so they hired numerous positions to supervise mental health and to help coordinate it, and really blossomed into both administrative positions and coaching positions. And then expanded to create a wellness center at Freedom High School. And so at this point, there are wellness centers at both high schools, and there are expanded mental health services at all of the 22 schools in the Bethlehem School District.
Okay.
Not all having wellness centers, but
sure,
definitely expanded services.
Yeah, availability.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You made this change from Liberty to Wilson Area School District in April.
February, actually.
Actually, February.
Yep.
Okay, I guess. I saw it in April for the first time.
Yeah.
So, big change on a number of levels, district size, community size, responsibility size. Could you explain, because our listeners may be like me, I lived in West Easton and I've lived in Bethlehem. Wilson just sort of seems between two districts here, between Bethlehem and Easton. Can you tell us a little bit more about the Wilson Area School District?
Sure. So our district is really a very special place. It's kind of sits somewhat in the center of Easton, and is also bordered by Palmer on one end, and then to the river from that point down to 611. And so we're very fortunate to be in a neat position in terms of location. But one of the things that most people don't really realize is Wilson is a very diverse community, much more diverse than people know. And that's at all of our schools, no matter where you go. And quite frankly, I've lived in the district since 2007. And so I didn't realize how diverse it was until I spent a lot more time at each school over the past few months.
Mm-hmm.
It is really a wonderful place in terms of how people view the schools, the faith that the community has in what we do in the educational sphere, the absolute dedication of our teachers and support staff and administrators. It is a place where many of our teachers or staff in general come and don't ever leave. They want to be a part of the not just the schools, but the community itself. And so it has just been not just a wonderful place to be as a parent, but I've learned more and more how wonderful it is to be there as an administrator, specifically superintendent.
Yeah, interesting. And the fact that you've lived there since 2007, I don't feel as bad that I didn't know some of this information either. I didn't think of it going down to the river.
Mm-hmm. Up into Williams Township and those areas back there.
Okay. Well. How many schools are in the system? So you got one high school and...
Right. So there's three elementaries. We have Avona, Williams Township, and the borough. And then we have one intermediate school. Okay. And then one high school.
Okay.
We have basically two other buildings, the administration building and our link center, that are all kind of make up the whole district.
Okay. Wow. So. And population-wise, student-wise...
So we at our high school, where we vary in the 700 range, and kind of same throughout our intermediate schools and in our elementary. So it's kind of broken up that way.
Okay.
It's interesting that the population in the district is really at that 2100 range, 2200 range. But at Liberty High School, I had 2800 students at one school. So the Liberty was much bigger than the entire district.
Okay.
So it's a definitely a different feel from that perspective.
Okay. And your student-teacher ratio, from what I saw, looked really great. 15-1 or something is what I read. Is that still correct?
Yeah. Obviously that varies. But we have a good ratio in terms of our staff to student population. And, you know, I think that's obviously there's good and bad to everything you do. Mm-hmm. But when you can have more positive adults around students, that's mm-hmm. always something that you want to try to do at the highest levels possible.
Yeah. So as you transition from principal of Liberty High School to superintendent with a bigger menu of responsibilities, I want you to think about some of the things that you thought would be challenges or maybe that became challenges, and, you know, share with our listeners some of the things that you've learned in this process of transitioning from a larger high school to a full district and all those responsibilities. And we've got to go to a break very shortly, so I'm not going to let you answer right now. I'll give you a moment or two to think about it.
Great.
But because I think that's important for people to understand the role of principal versus superintendent. I also think it's important for people to understand if you want to have a career in education, maybe some of the things you've got to think about as you try and step up that ladder. So, listeners, we're going to go to a short break. You're listening to Wellness Lehigh Valley with our guest, Dr. Harrison Bailey, who's superintendent of Wilson Area School District. And we're talking about his recent transition from principal at Liberty High School Bethlehem to superintendent of Wilson Area School District. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Spread the word about your business or organization to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR News and locally produced programs reaches thousands of engaged listeners in the Lehigh Valley and beyond. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable and effective way to provide information about your product and services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, 610-694-8100 or WDIY.org.
Welcome back to our Wellness Lehigh Valley Discourse Program. We are talking about education, and we're talking about today's type of education, career transitions from principal to superintendent, and things that are happening outside of a district's control in this current environment with Dr. Harrison Bailey III. He is the recent named superintendent of the Wilson Area School District. So before we went to break, we were talking about a little bit of his experience at Liberty High School with restorative justice practices and trauma centers, talking a little bit about the Wilson Area School District. Now I want him to share his experience in this transition and perhaps some of the things that he's observing and doing that he may or may not have been aware of as he was looking to take this change in his career path. So, Dr. Bailey, I'm going to leave that wide open for you.
Sure. I would say that when I think about the transition from principal to superintendent, I would say that most of it is generally anywhere that you would make that transition, not just from Bethlehem to Wilson. The biggest difference I see is that as a principal, especially a large high school, a large urban high school, a lot of what you're dealing with is turnstile events, right?
Okay.
There's always something happening.
It's just
the nature of a large space, yeah. Right? You're always going to have someone who needs to talk or someone who wants to get your opinion on something or ask a question or unfortunately deal with an event. And so it's as a high school principal, that's a constant. So the stress, so to speak, is kind of that constant drip. And so you basically, from the time you walk in the door until whatever time you leave, whether that's four in the afternoon or 11 o'clock at night, you're on call, right? You're answering questions, you're dealing with things, you're making decisions. The biggest difference is that as a superintendent, you're really much more in planning and prediction mode, where you're kind of trying to think ahead of events happening. You're really planning for as soon as the one school year is done being planned for, you're really starting the next one. Okay. And so it's a constant state of thinking ahead and trying to predict what's going to happen in the future. And it's as well as really, one of the big jumps is you go from being really focused on watching the interaction between student and teacher and kind of helping to navigate that process to now really being in a position where you really only work with adults. So now it's, I'm working with my district team and with principals. That's the core team that I'm developing. So that they are in a position to develop their staff in their buildings, it's one of being a steward of professional development, being a steward of systems and structures, and thinking about the budget and working with the school board. In the Wilson School District, we are very fortunate. Our school board is willing to listen and hear our concerns and our thoughts, and ultimately really have the best interest of our students at heart. And so it's been a great transition from high school principal to superintendent. I'm very fortunate in what I've walked into. But, I think it also grants you a different perspective. And so when I think about, I'm in a position where I have to think about the impact of federal decisions on schools, of state decisions on schools, not just, as a principal, you think more about district decisions, right? What does the superintendent do? What is the school board decisions that impact you as a school? Now I have to think about it as what does the president decide that impacts us as schools? What does Congress decide? What does the U.S. Department of Ed decide that impacts us? So it's a much more 10,000 foot view,
right?
In thinking about how we navigate the next, not just the next year, but the next decade. So that's really the biggest difference.
And that's really tricky right now with everything that's happening in the quickness of some decisions that are made without any kind of prior awareness.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. We're recently dealing with a slew of cuts to a number of title programs that have been really been huge supports to school districts. Title II, Title III, and many of these are funding streams that have helped – provide professional development, have helped to really work with our ESOL populations, have really been mainstays for us in education that are no longer funded by the U.S. government, and therefore states don't have the dollars to provide those that title funding to districts. And so we're really impacted by that significantly. The other area that's a massive impact that actually I was recently in Harrisburg meeting with a number of our congresspeople about is the way in which we fund our cyber charter schools. And that has been a massive point of contention in terms of needing, looking at it in a much more fair sense to say, why are we funding cyber charters basically the same way or even more per child than we do our brick and mortar schools, when they don't have the same overhead, they don't have the same, you know, issues that we deal with.
Right.
And so it has been something that our superintendent organizations and principal organizations have really been pushing on Congress to our state Congress to try to make some fair decisions about, which fortunately, I think we've seen some movement there. It's not done yet, but I think we definitely feel as though we've been heard, but are waiting on some crucial decisions.
So, Dr. Bailey, if we have some of your community members listening to this, and I'm hoping we do, and they're saying, okay, I understand that there's some challenges coming up and we don't really know exactly what they are. What can we do to help Dr. Bailey and his team at Wilson Area High School, and or maybe that then extends to other superintendents in other districts? What kind of community support would be helpful to you at this point in time?
Right. Well, I think it's important that we're active in both the process of finding out what's happening in schools, what are the initiatives that we're trying to accomplish, because I think the more you know as a community member about the things that we're trying to do, the more you know how to support and speak to those things. The other is to be active with our congresspeople. They need to hear your voice. They need to know that you're concerned about education and that it's on your mind. Whether you're a parent, whether you're a business owner, whether you're a community member in some other form or fashion, the next generation of citizens is truly going to matter.
Absolutely.
You know, whether it's the person who helps you in the store, or the person that in the hospital that you're in helps to provide your medical care. You know, how and who we entrust this to, it really makes a difference. And so our congresspeople need to hear that, that we value education, that we need to put our resources into education so that we have a highly, not just informed, but capable community.
Well, and that goes, I think, on all levels. When you look at students, it's not just the education they're getting. It's, you know, I look at some of these food programs and other things that are being affected by some of the changes, that if you don't have the right nutrition, if you don't have the right amount of sleep, if you know, activity, all those things are so important, and the community can really sort of rally behind sort of a full approach or a 360 approach to their students.
Absolutely. We have to take a more holistic view of our collective responsibility for the next generation. And I know often we get caught up in our own children, or the children at the school our kid is at, or the district our kid goes to. But really, it's a much larger conversation. It's really talking about education in general across our country that we have to be concerned about, and we have to voice those concerns. You know, it's kind of the old, the squeaky wheel,
gets the oil.
And so our congresspeople need to know that you care. Our congresspeople need to know that you're engaged in the process, because ultimately they want to be back in their jobs. And the only way they do that is if you vote for them.
Yeah.
And so knowing that there are that they represent you, and that education is something that is at the forefront of your concern for multiple reasons. That matters.
Yeah. When you think about the impact, and you just look at the impact that COVID had, and sort of the cascading things that we're still picking up that, you know, we weren't aware of. And when you look at that, and there's so many unknowns when you don't look at a whole approach, you know, they can just sort of fall out.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that collective we as a world really know very little about the true impact that COVID has had on people long term.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we have seen it in schools, whether it be from a mental health perspective or an academic performance perspective, or from a maturity perspective, quite frankly.
Yeah. Empathy seems to be something that keeps coming back to me, that I don't see a whole lot of empathy for understanding other people.
That definitely has been altered a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think, you know, we have to spend some time, additional time, more than I think we had in the past, considering how we interact with each other and the importance of caring for each other in ways that maybe in the past we didn't necessarily think about.
Mm-hmm.
I think over the next decade, we're going to see more and more that people have been negatively impacted and need support. And the removal of community programs, the removal of county funding, the removal of both mental health and physical health supports, If we don't start to take those things much more seriously, I fear we're going to really see the negative side of that over the next, not just 10, but 20 to 30 years.
Sort of the chronic impact of having that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. If someone is listening here and has been thinking about, maybe I'll go into teaching, maybe I won't. I mean, I've been reading a lot about there being a shortage of teachers. What would you like them to know?
Yeah, I think unfortunately we have allowed, we as meaning educators, have allowed the script, so to speak, of what it means to be in education be written by non-educators.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we have to do a better job of helping people understand how rewarding it is to be in this field, to be able to have a direct impact on young minds and the experiences of these individuals is truly a blessing. Yes, are there concerns that we're facing in education? Certainly, but they're facing concerns in healthcare. They're facing concerns in business.
Yes,
and so I think we have to do a better job of helping people know that this is an incredible field. Whether you're a teacher, whether you work in food service in a school, whether you're in the support side of things, you have an opportunity to really change our, not just our country, but our world, in helping to create and form the next generation. And that is a responsibility that can be heavy at times, but it's truly rewarding.
Well, and it's a gift. It's a gift to both
no doubt.
The student and a gift to yourself
no doubt.
As you get that
no
back.
Doubt.
And listeners, we're at the end of our show, and I'm so sorry, because I love talking to you. There's just so much information that you have and can share, so thank you.
No, it's been an honor to be with you.
I really appreciate it. And listeners, I want to thank you for making the time for this conversation. You can find past episodes and other programs on public affairs at WDIY.org and on major podcast platforms. I am Sally Hanlon, and this is WDIY 88.1 FM. Tune in next Thursday for more Lehigh Valley Discourse, and we'll see you next time on Wellness Lehigh Valley.